is a peek behind the curtain of the unseen world. My message title is What Daniel 10 is All About. This chapter is often one that is overlooked, but it is important because it reveals to us that there exists a cosmic struggle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. It tells us about angels. It tells us about demons. The fact is that they are locked in a kind of mortal combat somewhere between heaven and earth. It appears to be something like Star Wars, only it isn't science fiction. It's the real thing. As our Lord's church advances around the world, there's one thing that we need to remember. We need to remember that dark principalities are at work. Whenever the Lord makes an advance in the realm of darkness, you see, the empire of Satan always strikes back. You can depend on that. So Daniel chapter 10 reveals something that I think is very noteworthy. It's probably something we don't think about very much. Daniel 10 helps us understand why we encounter delays and why we encounter difficulties in our service for Christ. It's going to occur. It especially helps us understand why our prayers are sometimes hindered and why delayed for long seasons, perhaps for many years. I believe the best way to picture this chapter is to imagine yourself at a play in a majestic theater. As you await for the program to begin, you hear noise from behind the curtain. And occasionally the curtain itself is jostled by something or someone hidden from your view. Suddenly the curtain parts, just for a moment, just for a second. And you can clearly see the action that is taking place on stage. Almost before you can focus your eyes, however, the curtain closes again. And you know what you saw. But you wish you had been able to get a better glimpse of what was taking place behind that curtain. Well, friends, that's Daniel chapter 10. It's a peek behind the curtain of the unseen world. Very, very brief glimpse, however. We only get a little glimpse, but it's there. Here Daniel is given a rare insight into things that are normally invisible. It's a view from the seen to the unseen, from the visible to the invisible, from the natural to the supernatural. This chapter begins with an important chronological note. Verse 1 tells us that when Daniel received his revelation from God about the future, it was in the third year of the reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia. That is, it was in 536 BC. What's so significant about that date? It's important because that's the year the Jewish exile in Babylon finally came to an end, and the first group of Jews returned to Jerusalem. A little over 49,000 people went back home that year. Daniel was not among them. Perhaps at his advanced age, he couldn't make such a long journey. More likely, God simply told him that he had more work in Babylon for him to do. So Daniel introduces us to the final vision that you find here in the book of Daniel. Chapter 10, you might summarize as the prologue. Chapter 11 is the vision itself, which we'll look at next week. And chapter 12 gives us the aftermath and the closing remarks of the book. Basically, Daniel receives a revelation of the future that involves these three things: his people, nation of Israel. Number two, talks about the last days. Number three, it finally talks about that great war that is yet to come. As we will see in Daniel chapter 11, it contains an amazing revelation of Israel's history, culminating in the rise of the Antichrist, and in the final days before the return of Christ, all of this will take place. This revelation of a great war that will engulf Israel evidently sent Daniel into mourning. For 3 weeks, listen, for 3 weeks, he fasted and he prayed, eating no food, drinking no wine, and using no lotions. At the end of the 3 weeks, he was standing by the Tigris River when he saw this most amazing thing. You see, in Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, he had a vision of a man. This man was clothed in linen, waist girded with gold, with a body like beryl, face like lightning, eyes like torches of fire, arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, his voice like the voice of a multitude. Daniel responds by simply falling on his face before this amazing person. Later, a hand touches him and bids him stand up. And the angel proceeds to tell Daniel that his prayer has been heard the moment he began to pray at the start of the 21-day fast. So why then had the answer taken so long to arrive? The angel's explanation is mind-blowing. He says that he has been hindered by demonic opposition between heaven and earth. Notice what the angel says in Daniel chapter 10, 12, and 13. He says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the very first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come to respond to them." Then nobody says, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." Now the prince of the Persian kingdom cannot be a man, because no man can hinder an angel for such a long period of time. Not an angel that was sent by God. This must be some kind of demonic force assigned by Satan to be involved in the court of the Persian king. Evidently, his job was to hinder God's work. His job was to hinder God's people in Persia. He must have been a strong demon, because all by himself, he stopped an angel cold for 21 days. Then Michael, who is an archangel assigned to guard Israel, intervenes. Thus, the angel is able to complete his mission. And at the end of the chapter, we get even more information about the angelic comings and goings. Daniel chapter 10, 20, chapter 11, verse 1, we read this: "Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come, but first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him." This tells us that the angel has left his warfare in the unseen world to come to Daniel, and will soon return to battle. Soon he will fight against the prince of Persia again, and later will take on the prince of Greece. He also tells Daniel that 2 years earlier, he had somehow interceded to help out Michael the archangel, perhaps also fighting against the prince of Persia. Now you see, this is all very mysterious to us. But if it is to be taken literally, as I think it must be, it tells us of unusual goings-on in the invisible world, where demons and angels actually duke it out to either promote or to try to obstruct God's work in the world. If this sounds like a little too much to take in, I'd like you to consider the words of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Notice what it says. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. You need to remember that, Christian. But against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world. Against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You see, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 is helpful to us on several levels. First of all, it reminds us that our battle is not primarily against other humans. Sometimes we focus on the abortionist, the pornographers, those who fall into the category of functioning as ungodly political leaders, or corrupt business leaders, or the drug dealers, the perverters of filth, or whatever else might hinder God's work going forward. It's as if they were the source of our problem. But listen, those people have unwittingly been duped by powerful spiritual forces they know little or nothing about. Oh yes, they are morally responsible for their actions, for the decisions they make, the choices they make. Yet they are also in the service of evil spiritual beings who influence them in ways they don't realize that they're being influenced by. Second, this verse teaches us that there are various kinds of demonic powers. There are rulers, there are authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's not clear how we should differentiate between them, but perhaps it's enough to know that just as there are various types of angels, so the demons are organized and serve different purposes in Satan's service. Finally, this verse encourages us to put on the whole armor of God. Our godly character, or lack of it, you see, actually does make a day-to-day difference. Not only for us, but also in the great struggle between good and evil. We who are Christians are foot soldiers in a vast, invisible war that stretches across the cosmos. I conclude that while Daniel 10 may seem like a very unusual passage of Scripture, it actually corresponds quite well with the bigger picture that is presented in the New Testament. However, because this chapter is a peek behind the curtain, it leaves us, you see, with many unanswered questions. For instance, what happened during the 21 days the angel and the prince of Persia were contending together? See, the text tells us of a conflict, but gives no hint as to how the conflict played itself out. We also like to know what exactly Michael the archangel did in the end that finally won the day. We can't say with certainty exactly what happened. Perhaps it's simply that we can't even conceive of how spirit beings can contend with each other. If we knew the answer, it would probably not make a whole lot of sense to us. Other questions arise. How are demons and angels organized? It's clear that there are ranks of angels and a hierarchy of demonic spirits. The four categories in Ephesians 6:12 are suggestive, but they don't tell us everything we would like to know. And how do angels work together to defeat demons? Again, we don't have enough information to answer that question. On a more practical basis, we like to know how our prayers impact the invisible war. There it is going on. It's interesting in his book, This Present Darkness, author Frank Peretti implies that our prayers somehow give strength at times to weary angels in order to aid them in their combat. Perhaps that is true, I don't know. All we can say for certain is that there is a connection between our prayers and the spiritual realm. That's what the wrestling of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 is all about. We wrestle through prayer and obedience to God. We also wrestle by putting on the armor of God. And as a result, through these very human activities, we enter the realm of the invisible spiritual warfare. Finally, are demons and angels assigned to every nation on earth? That's a question that is often raised. We know about the Archangel Michael and his tie to Israel. We know about the demons assigned to Persia and Greece. Now, some writers suggest that there are angels and demons assigned to every city, town, street, home, school, office, and factory. They make much of territorial spirits and the importance of identifying those spirits and praying against them. However, be careful. Outside of Daniel chapter 10, no other passage in the Bible tells us about spiritual beings being assigned to specific nations. We simply don't know how far to take this. It may well be true that there are demons assigned to maybe a street or perhaps to every home. But there is no way to be absolutely sure. Evidently, it's not an important issue, or else we would have been told more about it. Finally, what about guardian angels? Many people believe that an angel is assigned to each person on earth. According to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, we read this: angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will be saved. Say that. But that doesn't really specify one particular guardian angel. Now, I mentioned to you what we don't know but wish we knew. I did that in order to bring up an important point. Whenever we read a passage like Daniel chapter 10, it's easy to go off on a tangent. Either we dismiss it as superstition, or we go off the deep end and become obsessed on the spiritual, supernatural. Both extremes are unhealthy. The principle we should follow is this: the only thing we can know for sure about the spiritual realm are those things that are revealed in God's holy word. Everything else is speculation. It's important not to go beyond the scripture at any point with respect to the demonic. As evangelicals, we believe the Bible tells us everything we need to know about the spiritual world. Everything the Bible says is true. You can depend on it. There is no other authoritative source for information regarding demons and angels. To say that, say nothing more than that we should take 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 seriously when it says that the Bible is God-breathed and is given to make us thoroughly equipped for teaching, rebuke, correcting, and training in righteousness. Though the written word of God, according to 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Found in the scriptures. Our only authority in the spiritual realm is the Bible itself. We should believe everything the Bible says, and we should be careful about going beyond what the Bible says. Along this line, it is important to remember that Daniel wouldn't have known anything about the conflict with the prince of Persia if the angel had not told him. Not as if he was praying for the angels during his fast. He wasn't praying, "Oh Lord, help the good angels to fight hard. Lord, please help Michael to hurry up and get in the battle." No, he didn't know anything about that. He had no knowledge of the supernatural struggle that was going on. He had no way of knowing until the angel revealed it to himself. As I wrap up this message, it's important for us to focus on what we can learn, though, from Daniel chapter 10. Here are five key statements that I believe summarize important truth that we can take home from this study this morning. Number one, the prayers of earnest believers who are living in God's will are immediately heard by God. They're immediately heard by God. The angel tells Daniel in verse 12 that his prayers were heard in heaven the moment he sought wisdom from God. This ought to encourage us. We wonder if our prayers ever reach beyond the ceiling. The tiniest whisper from a believer on earth is shouted through the courts of heaven. God hears us when we pray, and our petitions reach Him the moment they are formed in our hearts. Since there's no time or distance with our Heavenly Father, you see, we may pray with assurance that He hears us, as if we were the only ones that were speaking to Him. Isn't that wonderful? Number two, unseen spiritual warfare may at times delay answer to our prayers. Please keep that in mind. What happened to Daniel, it also happened to us. It may be that our deepest, most heartfelt prayers are sometimes delayed. Why? Because of the static coming from the other side of the curtain that I've been talking about. As angels and demons battle in the invisible realm, I believe this most likely happens when we pray about God's causes on earth. You see, as we enter into serious intercession for unreached people groups, we are likely to encounter many difficulties. And when we pray for our loved ones to be saved, and for wayward children to return to the Lord, see, we should not be surprised that those prayers are not immediately answered because of opposition in the unseen world. Satan hates that kind of praying because it is a direct attack on his infernal kingdom. He will not give up his captive, you see, without a fight. We need to remember that. Number three, wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. Wrestling in prayer is exhausting work. Daniel fasted 21 days while he sought the Lord. He then fell on his face. He bowed down to the ground. He was totally exhausted when he heard the angel's explanation. You see, spiritual warfare is serious business. This is not war games, this is real war. We are locked in a battle against spiritual forces that are vast beyond all human comprehension. And unless we rely completely on the Lord, we are certainly going to be defeated. It's easy to say, Lord, bless me and my family, and by the way, thank you for the food. Amen. That's good. But it's hardly the kind of prayer that will cause Satan to tremble. It's important for all who are Christians to raise the bar and enter into serious spiritual warfare. Number four, if we could see the invisible world, we would be amazed at the forces of good and evil that are all around us. Daniel 10 tells us that behind the movement of men and nations are unseen spiritual forces at work. No one could have known simply by looking at the Persian court that a great battle was going on between an angel and the prince of Persia. But when the curtain was pulled back, Daniel saw angels, he saw demons battling against each other. Human leaders were completely unaware of what was going on. You see, Satan often uses his emissaries to influence government leaders, to turn them actually against the people of God. So don't be surprised when that happens. It was true in Persia. It was true in Greece. It's also true in Washington, D.C. It's true in Ottawa, the capital of Canada, and it's true here in Toronto, the capital of Ontario. This chapter proves conclusively that Satan doesn't believe in the separation of church and state. He has no problem with using his evil cronies to harass and hinder the work of God around the world. But there's another encouraging side to all of this. 2 Kings chapter 6 tells us of a time when the mighty army of Syria surrounded the Israelites in a city called Dothan. It appeared on that occasion that the situation was totally hopeless. When Elisha's servants saw the armies of the enemy on every hand, he despaired. And he cried out. He said, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Elisha answered with words that seemed to make no sense. He said to his servant in 2 Kings 6:16, "Don't be afraid. Do you realize there are more with us than there are with them?" Then Elisha asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant. When the servant looked around, he saw above the army of Syria flaming chariots of the army of Almighty God. Friends, if only we could see what's beyond the visible. But we can't. Which is why this story in Daniel chapter 10, I think, is so crucial. It reminds us that just because we can't see something doesn't mean it isn't there. If for one second we could have that curtain pulled back, we would behold a vast array of supernatural beings, both angels and demons, all over the place. You see, there is much more to this universe than actually meets the eye. The chief weapons of our spiritual warfare, you see, are humility, prayer, knowledge, and perseverance. I find this final point most encouraging. Since we can't see the angels and the demons, we don't need to worry about what they're doing. Our part is simply this: walk humbly before the Lord. Seek His face in prayer, or in today's language, spend face time with God. And then to grow in knowledge by a careful study of the Word of God. Stay in God's Word. Stand on His promises. And then lastly, persevere in faithfulness no matter how tough the times may get for us. When I think about Christians whose faith I admire, I immediately think of those who are going through hard times and come out the victor. These are true heroes because they have chosen to believe in God in the face of very difficult personal circumstances. May God bless all those believers who have decided not to quit in the face of adversity. You see, I'm struck by the words of the angel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 19. He's speaking to Daniel, but it's a message he can speak to us. Don't be afraid. You are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. He says, be strong, as if he knows how tired Daniel is and how easy it would be to give up altogether. This is God's word for you, dear Christian, today. Are you under attack by the enemy? Never give up. Do you feel like quitting? Never give up. Are you trying to be strong in the face of temptation but wondering how long you can hang in there? Never give up. Do you face a barrage of criticism for doing what you know is right? Never give up. Are you tired of the struggle? God's word, friends, is crystal clear. Never give up. So take courage. Keep your eye on Jesus. Run to the cross. When you feel faint, lean heavily on the Lord. Be tempted to quit? Pick up your armor and get back in the battle. And when the day is done, you will be standing on the victor's side. Let nothing turn you aside. Fear not. Fight on. Never give up. Stand your ground for Jesus Christ. Our closing hymn reminds us to do that very thing. Let's sing it together as we close. Stand up for Jesus.